Well, this morning I wanted to continue in that same thought we left off with last week, the idea of the strength of the Lord, and the idea that strength is something we have to develop. We just kind of considered that comparison between the natural and spiritual strength, and that there is a parallel, is that there is strength can be an anointing from God, but yet as Christians, if we want to become strong, there's things we have to develop in our lives that need to be, cultivated and practiced, and that will bring about the strength of the Lord. And, of course, as you consider the last days, we realize that we're coming into the last days, and we can read about the glory of the last days, and that's encouraging to us. We want to have our hearts set on the glory of God showing forth on revival, showing forth, but we also realize that the saints of the last days, as we can read about in the scripture, they face difficulties. All right, they face obstacles, persecution. Spiritual powers and principalities are going to come forth as never before because they want to stop the glory of God, making the church rise up in glory. And so the saints are going to have strength. And I think that we're already at that place where we need to have strength in this day, in this hour, if we're going to be overcomers. We must have the strength of the Lord. In fact, I think it's going to come to the place where those who have not developed the strength of the Lord in a significant manner are not going to make it. Not make it in the sense of, they won't be able to overcome in the battles that they'll be facing and the obstacles. There'll be such a fierce fight that if, warriors have not become strong, they won't be able to win. And so I want to look at that, in that sense of being overwhelmed. God wants us to be filled with strength, that the enemy can't overwhelm us, that the enemy can't conquer us. There's a verse that I often think about in Proverbs 24 and verse 10. When I get overwhelmed, I have to be honest with my own heart and say, well, this is where I am. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Right? That's really where it is. If we get overwhelmed and we faint and we're giving up and we're like, oh Lord, I can't take it anymore, we need to come to this verse and realize what's going on. Right? It's because our strength has not been developed. Maybe it's there to a degree. We've planted some seeds, and we've done a little work, we've read our Bible, we've been praying, but yet there hasn't been that cultivation and exercising of the work of Christ in us to the point where it can cause us to overcome. We have strength, but it's a little strength. That's why it's so important that in these last days that we develop the strength of the Lord. And that strength, I think it can be implied in many areas. It can be in our bodies, it could be our mind, in our character, in our emotions. When we faint or get overwhelmed, in our emotions or in our thought life, it's a sign to us. And really that's what we don't have to give up because we lack strength, but it's a sign to us to say, you know what? I need to develop strength in that area. Maybe I can overcome in this area, and that's what we major on, right? I'm great in this area. Praise the Lord. I can get the victory. But in that area, when God allows something to come, we kind of wilt, because we haven't developed strength. Someone can really develop their arm muscles so that they look really nice, but their legs can be really weak, and that's true in the spirit. Is that we want to be fully developed in the strength of the Lord in all of the areas. Because the enemy is smart, right? We don't want to say that we face a dumb enemy. He'll target us where we're weak. He won't target us where we're strong. But if there's that area where we lack strength, that's where he'll focus. And that's why we need the strength of the Lord. Now, I mentioned last week that a sign of those who have gone on in the Lord and become mature is that they are strong. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, John, he wrote to the three groups, to the little children, the young men, and the fathers. And of course, we realize he wasn't writing to little babies, because they wouldn't understand what he's saying. He was writing to immature believers who had just come into the faith. And in 1 John 2 and verse 14, and we'll read this verse again. This is in the second part, verse B of 1 John 2:14. You know, what sets the young men and women, right? The young ones, the ones who have developed maturity. What sets them apart from the little ones? It says, I have written unto you because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's what sets them apart. You know, strength has been deposited. It's been developed in these saints. It's brought maturity through victory. They've applied the strength of the Lord, and because of that, they can overcome. And, you know, this maturity comes through strength. And that strength will protect us in the days to come. And even today, as the enemy tries to test us and get us to wilt and, you know, puts the pressure on us to give up, it's the strength of the Lord. Now, I just want to show this idea of how important strength is going to be in the times to come. And I want to look with you at Revelation chapter 12. We're not going to go in depth with this, and I'm not even going to read this, but you can read about this in Revelation 12. I'm just going to summarize it. But, you know, there's a very strong correlation here. And if you want to learn more of this, you can look at the Revelation book or the Second Coming, and it describes this. But, you know, just like John showed us the three groups, he talked about little children, young men, and fathers. In Revelation 12, there are also three groups, and there's a very close link between these three groups. They refer to groups of believers, you know, and you guys know this. But I just wanted to bring out one thing, because, you know, it's a story of these three groups of believers within the church. But I want you to consider the difference between two of them, because the old dragon comes to persecute the woman, right? That's his mission. He wants to persecute the church. And so he goes after the woman. And he can't get her, right? He tries to get her, sends out a flood to try and overwhelm her, but she's hidden, protected in the wilderness. And so what does he do? He turns against her children, her seed, the little ones. You know, speaking of those who are not strong, those who are immature. And he makes, and it actually goes on and describes it in Revelation 13:7. He says he makes war with the saints and overcomes them. All right, so here's this group. All right, one group is hidden, and one group, the enemy comes and he overcomes them. I don't know about you. I don't want to be in that group. I don't want it said of me, well, the enemy came and I was overcome. All right, because God is giving us everything that we need to be in that second group, to where we can obtain strength. And really, that's what the difference is, isn't it? Right? What set the woman apart, if we can relate it back, is she was strong. The word of God was abiding in her, and she overcame the wicked one. Because she could overcome through strength, she's protected. And the ones who didn't have strength, they didn't develop the strength, you know, maybe in their spiritual strength, in their mind, in their emotions, in their prayer life, in their knowledge of God's ways. And because of that, they weren't preserved. But this other group was. And, you know, I share this because just to show it is so important that we develop the strength of God and that we become strong in the ways of God. And, you know, what we're talking about here is not just in something we do. In acts we perform for God. You know, if you think about strong, well, hey, I'm filled with the strength of the Lord. I can do a miracle like Samson. You know, I can lift up a car or whatever. I can, you know, carry it 12 miles like he did the gates. And, you know, but as he did in the natural, we are to be able to do in the spiritual, in our fights, in our battles against the enemy. God wants to make us strong. You know, so it's not necessarily the acts we perform, but I think it's the qualities that are developed in our life. That is where strength is found, when we have developed those qualities. And I'm going to look at a few here. You know, because I was just kind of been meditating on this, and I was asking the Lord, you know, last night, well, Lord, what is it? What is it that gives us strength? How is strength developed in us? How is it found in us? How does it become effective in us? And immediately what popped into my mind, the first thing was knowledge. Knowledge. In Proverbs 24 and verse 5, it says, "A wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases in strength." You know, it's in our wisdom, in our knowledge of the ways of God, that we can find strength. You know, something happens in our spirits when we receive knowledge of the ways of God and His kingdom. There's something that is, it's like a seed deposited in us. And if we will cultivate that and develop it in our lives and apply it, as we'll look at here in a minute, as we apply that, it becomes our strength. And we increase the more we seek after the knowledge of God and then apply it in our lives, it becomes our strength so that we can fight our battles. And if we don't know the way to fight, we can be the strongest person in the world, but if we don't have a good knowledge of how to fight and a battle plan, it will get us nowhere. I think King Saul was probably a pretty strong guy. I mean, it said he was a head, you know, above all the other Israelites. He was a strong warrior, but he couldn't win because he didn't get the knowledge of God. And so, you know, we want to obtain that knowledge. And then we begin walking. You know, we get the knowledge of God, but then we walk in that knowledge. And when we start to do that, something happens in our hearts. We start to develop new abilities as we exercise ourselves in the ways of God. You know, we might read in the morning, as an example here, we might read one morning, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." And God might quicken to you and say, "Oh, I need to exercise that in loving my neighbor as myself." And of course, you know, that leads you into practical things you can do to develop that knowledge in your own life. And as that's developed, we become strong. Or you might read, you know, one morning or in your Bible reading time about repentance and realize, oh, there is an area that I need to practice repentance. And, you know, maybe it's asking forgiveness of someone or forgiving someone. And we practice that. We put that knowledge into practice in our lives. And you know what? It develops a strength that was not there before when we put the knowledge of the Word of God and apply it and activate that in our lives. We become strong. But there might be other believers who are very happy and content to cruise along, you know, and they're in the kingdom, but they haven't exercised themselves in the truth of the kingdom. And in one sense, you could say, that's an easy ride, right? It's kind of nice when you could be in the kingdom, but you don't have to be convicted about anything, right? You're not really reading the Bible, and you know, you're not really giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to convict. And so in one sense, hey, you can have an easy life as a Christian in one respect, right? Not that things won't come, but you know, you won't be convicted about those things. You won't realize your need to change, and that can be pleasant for a season. But at some point, the old dragon is going to come knocking, and he's going to come seeking. And he might try to get at those Christians who have become strong at first, and he'll send out his flood and try to overwhelm them, and he can't do it. So what does he do? He says, well, I'll go after the ones I can get, the ones that are weak. And then he'll target those. He'll find one who was content in not exercising himself in loving his neighbor or in repentance or in serving God. And he'll target that. And you know what happens is he just runs right over them, tramples them into the ground, you know, flat as a pancake, and that's it. They're overwhelmed. They're overcome. And so that's why knowledge of God's ways and His kingdom is paramount in our lives. You know, and we read the verses Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, the very familiar verses. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, if we study God's ways and give ourselves to that, to the exercise in His truths, and allow Him to work them into our lives, we won't be ashamed in that day. What is that day? It's that day when the enemy comes knocking, and we have to fight, and we have to overcome. You know, we'll be protected. And especially in the days to come, that's going to become more and more, I don't know if I'd say important, because it's really important now, but I think it will become evident. Because if we don't have strength, we won't make it. I don't think we'll make it now if we don't have strength either, because, you know, it's, you know, our time is limited. But yet, it will be so much more apparent and essential. Now, I wanted to look at another thought here, because we're not just called to be strong in ourselves, but we're also called to give strength to others. And I want to just consider that. In Luke 22 and verse 32, this is what Jesus said to Peter. Luke 22 and verse 32. He said, "But Peter, I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." You know, he wasn't just concerned about Peter being weak. You know, he was saying, I am praying for your faith to be strengthened and you to be strong, but I'm praying that you'll strengthen your brethren. Because there's something in that, that when we become strong in ourselves, you know, we get a measure of strength, and then we look to strengthen others, that does something in us. That increases our strength. That causes us to rise up, you know, because when you're trying to teach someone else, you really want to make sure it's right in your life. At least I hope we do, right? That's what we should be. But I think there's an aspect of this strength that we can understand by looking at this word in the Greek, you know, for strengthen thy brethren. It's the Greek word, you don't have to remember this, but it's sterizo, and it means to set fast, to turn resolutely in a direction, to confirm. And it's like that idea of to confirm and to strengthen in a way. And so he's telling Peter, Peter, I want you to strengthen your brethren in the ways of God. And really, how do we do that? How do we strengthen people in the ways of God? Well, it's being in that way ourselves and being an example to our brethren, being an example to others. Yes, it is. It is having the right words to share with them. That has an effect, but really, sometimes people don't need to hear words. They need to see action in other people's lives. You know, they're looking for an example. Now, they don't always need a sermon. That's kind of our natural thing, right? Someone needs help, so we give them a sermon. You should be doing this because the Bible says this, and then don't forget this verse and that verse, and, you know, here, I'll just write it down for you. And that's what we want to share with people. But, you know, the thing that we remember most is not what people say necessarily, but it's who they are and what they do. That's how we can strengthen the body of Christ, is by being an example of what the body of Christ should be. Now, we want to be an example, and that will give our others strength. And, you know, Peter, you consider Peter, I don't know if I would have wanted to be in his position, because he was called to strengthen his Jewish brethren, right? But do you know what he was called to do? You know, in Acts 10, he received a vision. And, you know, you remember the vision, it was a sheet coming down from heaven, and upon it were all sorts of unclean beasts and such. And the Lord said to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And at first he said, "Oh, Lord, I've never done that. I've never eaten anything unclean." I mean, he was a holy man when it came to the law. But the thing was, is he was no longer in the age of the law. He was in the age of grace when he had made all things clean. You know, and that was not just speaking to him of that he could change his diet, but that the Gentiles were now invited in, and that they were a part of that covenant, and Peter was to make the way for them to come in as well, and to lead his brethren out of the covenant that they had been under into a new covenant. See, they were still held fast, and, you know, God wanted to bring them into something new, into a deeper walk. And so he chose Peter to do that and to lead by example. right? And so he went into Cornelius's house and, you know, ate with him and fellowship with him. And the first thing the brethren said was, "Peter, what are you doing? That is illegal." You know, not according to any law, but their tradition. And he had to explain to them that God had changed things. And he was to lead the men. He was to be an example of strength in that way. And boy, that would have been a challenging job. And I think it was. I mean, he had trouble himself, right? We remember Paul had to kind of confront him once and say, you know, look, you can't be two things. It's either one way is right and the other's wrong, or, you know, you got to choose which way. Because at one point he was hanging out with Gentiles, and then he left and got back to the Jewish way of doing things. And Paul had to correct him and say, look, there's only one way of doing things now. But, you know, it takes a measure of strength to make that stand. But when you do that, when you make a stand for God and following his ways and declaring it, you know, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You know, that increases your strength. It's like, you know, just magnifies and causes that strength to grow. You know, especially, you know, when you face situations and you have to make a stand, especially in your family. Right? I don't know if any of you have had to make a stand. You know, maybe there's been a relationship or something, or people don't agree with you and following the Lord. You know, but when you make a stand, you know, maybe someone wants your blessing on a wrong relationship or something. Oh, when you have to make a stand, that's hard. It's really, the easy thing is to say, well, you know, you do what you want and I'll do what I think is right and let's all be friends. Right? That's the easy thing. But, you know, if we're going to be an example, we have to declare the ways of God. You know, especially when God is asking us to do that and to be an example. And you thought you knew the truth before. Well, when you have to make a stand for righteousness, you know the truth after that. It was all head knowledge before, but when you have to declare to people the ways of God, then that becomes real because you pay a price for it. And that becomes a strength in your life so that if you ever have to do it again, well, I've already paid the price for it. I'll do it again, I guess. You know, but it's become something to you. It's your strength. And so we want to develop that strength by making that stand for the Lord in whatever area he might call us to do that in. Now, I just want to look at one more thought, you know, of developing strength. And you could say, you know, here is a secret to strength. Does that get your attention? I know everyone says, here's the secret to obtaining what you want. These are all little gems. But you know, here's the thing that can be often overlooked in the process of seeking strength. And you might say, well, that's not overlooked. It's obvious. But yet in continuing, there's something that we need. You know, if you need an answer, if you need strength from the Lord, the key is not just coming into the presence of the Lord and asking, but the key is coming into the presence of the Lord and waiting. Yeah. And waiting for the strength. In Psalm 27 and verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. What does the psalmist say, be of good courage? Because sometimes it takes courage to continue waiting instead of trying to figure it out and make up your own answer, test out your own theories, right? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Don't give up. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, when we have a problem, you know, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, here's my problem. Oh, Lord, meet with me. And then we get our timer out and say, well, he hasn't answered me in 6 hours. Oh, my. I guess I'll pray again. Right? And if that doesn't work, then I'm going to have to figure something out. And sometimes we'll put God on the clock. Whereas the psalmist is saying, you know, be of good courage. Wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen you. He shall strengthen you. You know, it's really easy to try and theorize and, well, let me practice a few things. Let me try this, that, and the other, and then if that doesn't work, I'll come back and wait some more. But, you know, the Lord wants to encourage us that strength is always found in the secret place with Him, and He'll direct us. Now, sometimes He might give us ideas and direction on what to do, on what practically to do, but we want to make the seeking of Him the principal thing in getting strength. You know, another verse, Psalm 105 and verse 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Psalm 105 and verse 4. You know, that we want to be seekers of the strength of the Lord by coming into His presence, seeking His face. How often or how long? Well, it says forever, evermore, always. That becomes a way of life, a pattern, because that will be to our strength. You know, it's coming into His presence is not really the challenging part. He's made the way. He's opened the way for us through His sacrifice so that we can come boldly into His presence. The hard part is waiting till we get the answer, until we receive the strength from on high. But when we learn to do that, that will become the secret of our source of strength. You know, and my pastor, Pastor Bailey, I always used to marvel, and we would always marvel when you had when you needed strength because you're facing something. Well, you'd go to Pastor Bailey, and you know, he'd give you a word, or he'd have wisdom, or he'd have an answer. But really, we all knew why he had the answer, right? It wasn't that he was smarter than everyone else. I mean, he was very intelligent, but it wasn't really his how smart he was, because we knew he would go to God and he would obtain that thing that we needed, that answer, that strength, or that anointing, and he would share it with us and direct us in that way. Now, of course, he very seldom gave us an instant answer unless the Lord spoke to him that moment. You know, we would often get the response, well, dear, let's sleep on it. Let's give me a chance. I'll call you back, or we'll talk about it tomorrow. And of course, what he would be doing was be seeking the Lord that night and waiting on the Lord. And so very often he got his answers waiting on the Lord at night. You know, the Lord would come to him and speak to him. That was the secret to his strength, the secret to where he could meet with the Lord and obtain strength from God to face whatever situation. And that's the thing. You knew that if he faced a situation, he would seek the Lord and obtain strength from Him. And in one sense, you know, He's our role model. You know, that's what we want to learn to do, so that we can develop that secret of strength in our lives, of learning to wait upon the Lord and developing an ear to hear Him. And I think that's going to be the key to strength in the last days, in the days to come, how God will preserve us. You know, how is God going to preserve those of His people? Because, you know, this is not just a group all gathered together that, you know, there's one person telling everyone what everyone to do. This is speaking of believers scattered all over the world. How are believers who are strong going to be protected all over the world? It's because they learn to wait upon the Lord and receive direction and strength from Him, so that He will say, well, I'm going to lead you today in this way. We're going to hide over here. The enemy's going to try to get you today. But don't worry, I'll protect you. Because they're waiting, and they've received that strength from Him. They've developed that ability to come into His presence and wait upon Him every day and receive that strength from Him to get direction and be preserved. And so in these days now and in the days to come, let's seek the Lord for this kind of strength. You know, this strength to know more of Him, to learn of Him, and to apply His knowledge. And often that is the difference. We can read and we can learn and we can memorize, which we have to do. But then we have to apply. And when we apply those things into our lives, that's where the strength is developed. You know, and to be examples of Him. You know, let's cry out, Lord, give me strength to stand for You and to be an example to those in my community, to those around me, because that will cause us to become even stronger, and then to learn to wait. Lord, teach me to wait upon You, that my strength would be from You. You know, there's another verse in the Psalms. It's like, as a handmaid waits upon the hand of her mistress, And it's the idea that she's just not moving. She's just waiting. As soon as she receives direction, then she moves to do the will of her mistress. And that's a good concept, is that we want to learn to just wait and be still until we see the hand of the Lord directing us. And then we're off. We're going in the way He wants us to go, and we're responding to Him. And that's the way of strength. And that's the strength that God wants to develop in us. And Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that You are the God of strength. You've even called Yourself the strength of Israel, Lord, and we are a part of spiritual Israel. Lord, we're crying out to You that You would make us strong in this day and in this hour. Lord, increase our strength. Lord, make us to be strong in You and in Your ways. Lord, to learn of You. Oh God, to be able to stand for You and to make a stand. And Lord, if need be, pay a price to follow You and to be an example of You. Oh Lord, strengthen us in Your ways to do that. Lord, and would You teach us that secret strength of waiting upon You, of coming into Your presence and Lord, learning to hear Your voice and waiting to receive that strength daily from You. Lord, we know that You did that in life of Your Father. You waited upon Your Father day by day. And Lord, we pray that You would teach us to wait upon You and the Father. Oh Lord, develop this strength in our life that we might be hidden and protected, oh God, and preserved in this day and in the days to come, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.